Hi, Bob.
Hey, did you follow that?
Oh, yeah. As you know, a lot of the time when I'm at home, I'm sort of multitasking and I'm listening, and then I go back and review it later in the week when I can just put it on my iPod.
Right.
So, yeah, I haven't got the full import of everything, but it was really terrific, exciting, very good interview. These interviews are really fun to post because everyone's alive and in a new way. And, yeah, it's really good stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a smart guy, and if we can get Ben to listen, it'll be an answer to Ben.
And now Scott is behind the eight ball, or he's drafting in Bob's, trail, and he's trying to get caught up with the vacuum or whatever it is that you're putting out there. So, I can hear him going through the inertia of how he's been thinking through all this stuff and, attempting to reach into, the Bob insight.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy to do it with because he's been a long-time listener. He knows Dave. He's almost like an insider, even though I've never met him.
Yeah.
No, I met him in 99 that one time, but, I don't know him. But
he see, it's good when you have people who are articulate about the...
that can keep up with me.
Yeah, that can keep up with you, but also, since you're talking on the collective level... Everybody, the personality's always going, yeah, but what about me and my favorite love song? I mean, how does this fit in?
Yeah, what about me? Which was his reaction 10 years ago. Like, he just thought it was devastating, the everything's disappeared theme,
Yeah.
But that's what we are, he is another patient who, everybody's running around, what about me? Everybody into nobody, but... No, it can't be that bad, is it? There's no room for me? That's what the Westerner is always saying.
Yeah.
That's what movies are all about. Lost, Friends, what about me? So William Bell's making all these Frankenstein monsters. Well, what about me and my kids? They have to go to school.
Right.
They got to survive.
Right. And, then, if you can gradually start punching people through to the ion inside or the mystery level, then...
the breakthrough, the good news.
Yeah, then the me that's concerned about the little me that's disappearing in this vast collective spectrum can discover its ability to create its own needs or whatever it feels it wants to have.
So is this a good sign? You're quoting Ion. Did you like the session? Have you heard it yet?
Yeah, I did. I listened to it a couple times, and Ion's charm is winning me over.
He's a sly Lucifer. He's a sly demon. That's right.
Yeah.
He's updated his way of, winning people over.
Yeah.
He laughs along with Bob.
Yeah. It is, I had to get over, what I expected or what, see, I had a maybe predefined idea of... The other side and the channeling like that from the experiences that I had with Lazarus.
Right.
I mean, Ion is at once all and everything, and yet still has the appearance of an individual who's trying to figure out how to communicate.
That's right.
Because he'll go, well, no, Bob, that's not what we meant. Let's see if we can. And he'll come up with some, cheeky metaphor, and then he'll laugh about that and backtrack a little bit and work a little more to figure out. It's like you asked him at the beginning of the tape. You probably don't remember. He said, well, we were talking about Deason Harmon a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
do you remember?
Yeah.
And he's like, let's check. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we sort of remember that.
He goes, the guy in Oahu.
But it's like he has to think about stuff. See, when I talked to Lazarus, there was never this feeling that he was trying to figure out what to say or how to say it. He seemed...
Okay, you're not as fast in mind as me. You, Ion can keep up with me. He might take a second to shift gears and find out what I'm referring to. But look, I'm pretty sure you didn't speak as many topics as fast to Lazarus, okay?
No, that's true. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm so fast that even I make non-physical. Wait a minute, Bob, where do we go? Oh, yeah, yes, the guy in Hawaii, yes.
Right. Right. So
that would
great.
Be my explanation of that. Because Ion often, I'll start to say something, he'll go, yes. He already heard the question. I said, well, just for the tape, let me just say the words. And he goes, okay. So I say the words so the listener can know what I ask, and then and repeats, says yes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about Ion, it's a new kind of mediumship in the sense that a lot of people are going to say, nah, this ain't spirit. This is a guy because he's so fucking human.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that, I think, is so much the message. If the physical and non-physical are coming together and the veil is thinning, the guy would show up like a Southern draw guy, you know?
Right.
That's what's the hidden message there.
Right.
Which is hard. That's new. We got a whole new thing here going on with this Ion. And once you start hearing it, it's not winning you over. It's just you're hearing more of what happens with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, don't you think that death thing was incredible?
Oh, yeah. It's good. It's very good.
I mean,
there are aspects. Go ahead.
It's just the way he describes each phase.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anybody's ever heard that before. You might have heard fragments in the Tibetan monastery or something, but man, the way he does it, and it's such a nice, friendly, yet, you know,
right.
We're so clear, bouncing off my questions about it as he lays it out.
Right. I was still left with the question that you guys raised and laughed about. I don't know if there's any resolution to it, but the when I transition to the guff, I never get there because there's no time.
Oh, you do get there, but it takes, I don't know how you, you know, that's, yeah. Well, I don't
see, it must be, to my way of thinking, that I'm in the guff right now. It's just that my conscious mind is denying that to some degree, and it's working through all the rules that I've set up about how to think about stuff.
Yeah. I think the language of Ion is new about the three parts of the, you know, the physical, non-physical, and the mind with its rules. It's like the same old people know the mind, the belief system gets in the way, but I like the way he says it. It's your rules, and you're going to have rules. That's part of your structure. But you, if you want to change your rules, you got to be careful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you can change your rules by the all kinds of effects happen. This three-way thing, rather than just saying mind-body, is really good.
Mm-hmm.
No, you haven't heard that said that way about the mind before, right?
No, and it makes sense to me. The mind is the rule maker.
Yeah, and it's an important function. It's like balancing all the wonderful ecstasy that you're experiencing in the physical.
Well, if its rule-making capacity can't keep up with the present, it becomes a problem. See, what are the things maybe that, you know, another way to look at what you're saying about, you're talking about, you know, Lester and these people who are driving with their eyes firmly fixed on the rearview mirror, is their rule-making system came from an earlier...
environment, yeah.
Yeah, and so it becomes a... You can't get rid of it, but it becomes a problem if it's not it's not synchronized with what is.
Yeah, and with what is and what isn't being the non-physical. You've got to get the three going: Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. You know, and it's a whole new paradigm of comprehensiveness that Ion's saying, and it's very practical. It's totally understandable. You know, you have people saying, well...
It's still, the doable part is still difficult, because he's got the same problem that, I forget who you always like to quote, who says, I got to use words when I talk to you, because it's a symbolic, he's still working with symbol sets, and that's the real recognition of what he's doing happens outside of the symbols, happens outside of the time.
But it is one third of it. You know, like Bob Marshall overreacts to that problem and thinks you got to get rid of language. No, it's not get rid of language or use language. It is one-third of the interplay. You can get your,
yeah.
You can do your language, but you can do, you got to tune into non-physical and your physical, so you're juggling three things. So that takes the pressure off the language problem.
Yeah, if you can get your language, if I can get my language to match what it is that I really desire, and then when that manifested from my encounter with non-physical, the creator becomes, I become supercharged as the creator, and then my desire, if my rules are in line with my desires, then I'm going to see that I really am getting what I desire. At that point, I might want to start changing what I desire if I don't like what I'm getting.
Yeah, that's 3-2-1-ing. The one-ing process is reassessing, redefining what you want.
Oh, okay. What's the process, 3-2-1?
3-2-1. You know, the Abrahams talk about 1-2-3-ing it. You know, you wish for something and then wait till it manifests. Well, Ion says, no, that's, don't wait. You think something, you got it. Then the more you understand that, source energy will immediately bring it to you. But your one-ing is your response to what's brought in. And then you might not like what you've got, and then you do it again. You say, okay, I wish this color. So you go back to...
Yeah, I mean, how come our wanting is so fragmented and like what it is that feels good, you know?
Yeah. Well, because we think we don't realize that when we want something, it has arrived immediately. Because our rules, are culture, language, and mythology, and all that you... It do in the physical. It's your definition of where you are in your physical, your language.
Well, what you want becomes something that starts stacking up. You don't get it right away. That's the problem, and that's what creates the frustration.
Right, because...
I want something right now. I don't have it. Now that want is getting stacked up against some form of resistance because I'm not having what I want.
Operating from lack. I answer, don't operate from lack. If you can more and more realize as soon as you think of it, if you become more, quote, sensitive, you've got it. Just thinking of it.
Oh yeah, well that's like that's a step beyond resonant with McLuhan's idea that the advertising when it gets really good can give you a greater experience than having the thing.
Yeah, that's a good response. McLuhan's moving people away a bit from consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, well, just consume the images. You don't have to get the car.
Mm.
Or the advertising is language, is the poem, so you don't have to go watch a movie, read the ad, and it'll give you satisfaction about what you're using, what environment technology you're using.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's a subset of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You just have, it's a version of, if I want to experience something, I just have to think about it. Well, the next step is I just need to look at a picture of it and read some ad copy.
Yeah. Well, there's still I guess. But see, like in my case, like for instance, I still have to think about doing something that's tied to the tangible world of getting paid for providing some kind of service. So, I do that, and then I have this ideal. There's I'd like to be providing service. On a larger scale and earning more money, but in order to do that, I have to go through the process of learning how to provide that service, and then the process of learning that requires some time. But once I'm clear about that's what I want to do, if I'm really aligned behind it, then the coincidences should start lining up in my favor, or the doors should start. Being provided for me to move through, but there's still the process of moving through each stage of development in order to satisfy the requirement or the vision.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like I'm not going to, I mean, I suppose it's possible from some perspective that I could go out and become a data security expert working in the field, but from my perspective, there's still a lot about the subject that I have to learn.
Now, those are your rules about it. See, that's your rules.
Yeah, right.
And Ion uses the phrase, arguing for your limitations, which we all do.
Yeah.
Arguing for our limitations.
Well, Lazarus used to use that phrase, too.
Yeah.
Not the said it's significant, but, well, I don't know if it's significant or not. It just came into my head to say this. Lazarus, actually, his cover or reality, I'm not in a position to evaluate, is that he never was human or was ever interested in getting absorbed into the process of human evolution. He was created out. His origins stem from a different something.
Well, it sounds like what Ion says it is. It's non-physical and doesn't create and doesn't care what we create here.
Yeah, but claims to be a within the sphere of human evolution by being the repository for human souls.
That's what Ion says. What does Lazarus say?
Lazarus has never entered into the human dimension at all, physical or non-physical. He's completely outside the spectrum.
It sounds like to me an early attempt to say what Ion says simply, which is new. People think God creates, and Ion's saying, no, God doesn't create.
Yeah.
That's new. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is new. And as a matter of fact, Lazarus, on occasion, I would hear him say, yeah, we chose not, you know, we did not get
involved
with the network of human evolution, and boy, we're glad we didn't.
But that sounds like an early, like I find more and more that Ion is a collage of the best of the real mediums, all wrapped up and clarified and put real clear. You know what I mean? So that,
yeah.
I see the Evereens going so far, Abraham so far, Lazarus gets so far, and he was trying to say what Ion wraps up real simple.
Yeah.
When he says, well, we weren't involved. You know, well, that's another way of spirit saying, we don't create. We didn't get involved in human evolution.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's 30 years ago. And that's, people are very different. Didn't know as much or whatever back then. You know what I mean? So they evoked that kind of language from Lazarus. As Ion said, the Evereen spoke to their time because people's rules wouldn't have it if it went further. It went as far as Ion. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So you listen to it. Now, that's part A. We got B, C, and D. There's a lot more that happens. If you notice at the very last words, doesn't Ion say, okay, Bob, now we're going to go next time, but not tonight. We will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little trailer for what's to come. So we did that, and that's B, and then we did C. I don't know if we did D. I can't remember. We may have. But it's even more amazing stuff to come. It's not just what you hear in A.
Right. Yeah, I'm interested to hear that. So all
yeah, you'll
good
hear it
time.
Someday at
yeah.
some point.
Yeah.
When you got your income balanced or whatever. But the point is, you didn't think you lost your money. You got your money's worth.
Oh, no, yeah, I know I got my money's worth.
And did you notice how much fun Carol and I have with them? That's what's really neat.
Yeah, it yeah. is. That's part of the fun, actually. And yeah. it's part of the fun that you, you know, Bob asserts himself and takes control. Oh, Ion's, Ion, what's he doing? He's meandering. Okay, Ion, let's get back focused here. Back in the room. Ion, you give him a little slap on the face, you know. Throw some water in his face. Okay, back to work, buddy.
It is hilarious. I mean, it is shocking. The average person who has great respect for the afterlife and all that will think that I'm a fucking thug, right? And it must be a put-on. No self-respecting non-physical deity would put up with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I never did it with the Evergreens.
Oh.
That's what's real. I think this is a whole new level of, and it's appropriate. If the thinning of the veil brings the physical and non-physical together, and Ion saying, Bob, you could stay in the physical for the rest of eternity, you know, and you're tapped in non-physical, then why wouldn't, quote, God or Spirit of God be like Ion is? This happy-go-lucky guy laughing along and you know, not being very spiritual, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But then then it goes, okay, Bob, yes, we're awake. Okay, here we go. And then it fucking starts telling you stuff. Holy fuck, listen to this, what he's telling me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a laser beam.
Yeah.
Oh, I phoned Randy today.
Oh, what happened?
I go, corrected him. We had a really good talk, and I told him a lot about Ion and, you know, told him what's really going on.
Yeah.
But the that reminded me, I said something to him. What the heck? Oh, yeah. I said, I announced in Five Body that I said, Randy, I think, you know, this ET contact everybody is happening, I think Ion is the ET contact. And Ion agrees. And I said, Ion says, don't call me an ET, call me, or call us, it's a plural, call us FT, Future Terrestrial. So I was explaining all that to Randy, and I don't know, you know, he seems to be getting it, or not pissed off at what I'm saying. He seems interested. You don't know what people do the next day. That's 24 years later, next day. But he seemed to be, got intrigued by it. But
yeah.
I was trying to tell him, I think we have the contact, because this thing is incredible. Anyway, I can't tell you all the stuff he tells me, but Jesus Christ, I can find out anything that's going on about anything immediately.
Right.
And so I was saying to Randy, look, if the whole fantasy is we'll have some ET come here, and it'll be able to read our minds and be able to tell us all this great stuff, and clean everything up, explain everything, whatever, you know, all this fantasy about ET. I said, well, this is what fucking Ion's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So yeah. That's equal to an ET landing.
Yeah, but we think of the ET as becoming like an environment, you know. Because
we think it's in the physical.
Well, yeah, but also it becomes an environment because the ET becomes shared, ET knowledge becomes shared by, you know, everyone, and Ion is still, you know, is still like, yeah, Bob, but it's changing your life, but still the world goes on outside
yeah,
of your...
We're on the radio, and we're offering, people can share the knowledge. They can have access to it.
Oh, I know, but it doesn't have, and it probably never will.
Oh, you mean the collective?
Yeah, have the collective.
Like,
you know, like if UFO.
Ion didn't show up on the White House lawn.
No, yeah, I mean, if UFOs really showed up in the skies,
yeah.
Of various countries and became a prominent presence, everyone, you know, there's a new movie called
V.
No, it's it came out a month or two ago. About it's a science fiction movie about the ETs.
You know about V, right?
Yeah, I know enough
about
it.
It's about a UFO landing. You know, it's this hologram, or I don't know what it is. I saw it on Hulu TV. It's a big movie.
Yeah. Well, this guy did a fun movie on the ET. The ETs show up, and they get their spaceship gets. Stranded over Australia someplace, and this thing is the size of a city, and it's just this ever-present thing that's hanging in the sky. So, you know, everybody becomes accustomed to the fact that, you know, everybody, the whole planet becomes accustomed and attuned, the TV body, everybody is accustomed and attuned to the fact that this thing is hanging in the sky. Now, that would transform the collectivity.
Okay, now I got that, but you do not know what Ion's plans are. I do. Ion will probably become like that.
Well, only if we as the human creators create that. Apparently, Ion has no will of his own with respect
to
such things.
That's right. But Ion is meeting a felt demand, a felt desire. Like he says, I wanted this, and they showed up to manifest it. But it's not just me.
Towering influences arise, but still they're only felt by, you know, I don't know, however many people get involved in that club and go unnoticed by the world at large.
Right. It's not on your TV, CNN yet, but it doesn't mean that it won't be.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to imagine.
Opening up the
evening news with the latest bulletin from Ion.
Well, listen to this. I know. It's hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yeah.
It'll
be interesting. You see, a lot of...
Let me finish that. You're going on another thought. I just want to finish that. It's hard to believe, but you haven't heard what Ion's told me. See if you remember this in 30 years. Ion said the other night, think of it this way, Bob. We were talking about our agenda and our plans. First there was Knights Templardom, or Templardom, he said. Then there was Christendom. Now that's a fucking 2,000 years, right? And then, I didn't know he was going to say this, he said, and then there will be Iondom.
Yeah.
Now that's fucking huge.
Well, you know, what I learned from Nassim Harman, it's not because he discovered it, but it was just one of the one of the things that he got into when he started to understand about his black hole physics was that the thing that when God was enthroned in a box and they carried him around, what did they call that?
Oh, the Ark of the Covenant.
The Ark of the Covenant, yeah. That was apparently in the custody of the Knights Templars for some time, and they actually were organized as a way of both hiding and protecting and having custody of that device.
That's 100% accurate. I've got a whole fucking couple hours on that from Ion. He described the Knights Templars were originally the guardians of Solomon's Temple.
Well, yeah, right. And they had the fucking Ark of the Covenant, and that didn't change the fucking world. It only changed the people who knew about it, who had to keep it secret from everybody else.
No. It had a big influence. That is written up a lot in our first book.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, that's you hit on the major archetype, Moses, the Ark of the Covenant, and we've got a lot on that. It's in the first book and a lot more, and all these questions you have as you think of it, I've already done them and
cool.
Gone through with it, but they'll eventually be released. It's a pretty interesting story.
On the tape that I got from you, he points out that Moses and Noah.
Yeah.
They don't, they get hung up, you know.
The rules wouldn't let them arrive.
Yeah, because they decided they weren't worthy.
Yeah. That's a big thing. One of Ion's agenda is to help people stop beating themselves up so much.
Yeah.
But people, they want rules. The mind says, no, I got to have order here. Somebody's got to be good and someone's got to be bad. So I don't know if I'll go with that, Ion, you know. You know, the mind, the one-third of us, does create rules and judgments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't just toss them out. That's why, you know, the old thing about get rid of your mind or stop your belief system, that thing that everybody always says is limited when you know it's a triad. It's three aspects.
Yeah, that's right. You can't get rid of the engine of creation.
And people think they have to, and they beat their own heads over it. I still think. I meditate and I still think. Nah, see, it's a duality you got going there.
You can rearrange the rules to give yourself more slack or more...
Yeah, relax and allow.
Relax and allow, yeah.
And so the triad image, as opposed to the dyad, is really new and helpful.
Yeah. And and the rulemaking machine is probably what creates time too.
Yeah, I do
understand more and more the necessity for. You can't eliminate time. That wouldn't be the way to approach it. But if you can bring physical and non-physical together, eternity into the present manifestation of the world,
time.
Yeah, then. Somehow they have to. They seem like polar opposites. Well, I can't bring them together, and if I do bring them together, it's going to require the strength of Hercules because they repel each other. They're just not alike. No,
that's what Ion ongoing changing the images we have of what the non-physical is and what the physical is and how they're there. And of course, one of the big shockers for people that shakes them up on that is ESP. You know. When something reads your mind and does that, you kind of, that's right inside me. You drop your images of being a separate billiard ball for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that erodes your sense of a big gap between, as Ion says, between you and you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the ESP in the sense of the Trinity would be, from the Christian model perspective, would be the Holy Ghost part, I think. You guys?
No, it's a non-physical in everybody. It's the non-physical is in touch and communicating all the time. And so the Father's non-physical, Son's physical. The Holy Ghost is the mind, which is what the mind is. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the controller and can't find it, can't see it, you know? Mm. But it's there working on you.
Mm. Yeah. Well, in the Christian theology, I think the Holy Ghost is the medium that stands between the physical and the non-physical. It's the what allows them to communicate.
Well, that's in this case, that fits.
If it were being allowed to...
You hear that? Allowing to communicate. It's the rules that you determined about the distance between you and you, the physical, non-physical you. And that's exactly as you're saying the Holy Ghost is. It's an interval determining what you allow.
Right. and you determine it, and then it determines you.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you're saying that Ion, you saw, well, that was good 2 hours. This is worth it. Ion's not a waste of time. That's why you're softening a bit.
Yeah. You know, some of his, when he talks about technology, he does it in a way that fires up my imagination and makes me want to become a believer. Like I liked how he talked about the Curlian photography.
Yeah.
And and sometimes when he's going off on a technology tangent, I'm not sure that he's saying something that would actually be workable in the world of technology and engineering. In other words, that an engineer who was on the cutting edge of creation having a conversation with Ion could actually adapt what Ion's saying into engineer it into actual technology.
Well, I would say that an engineer having a reading would evoke a different Ion. I don't know that much about technology, so it may be Ion may be a little off because I'm off, and it's talking to me. You bring in an expert, definitely Ion can talk differently to different people.
Yeah, because he's trying to find metaphors that'll work with your mind because you're not an engineer.
Yeah,
and if he was, he might be able to tighten it up in terms of actually giving that engineer the keys that he needs in order to develop that technology.
Yeah, like the engineer might say, well, what about the AC thing hits the XYZ, blah, 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 and then Ion takes that language and gives an insight like the Evergreens could do. That would blow the engineer away.
Yeah.
But see, it's like with Carolyn Medicin. That's why it's good to have her on the show. She can bring, if Ion makes a medical statement, I don't know what to say to that. Carolyn can bring up her conventional knowledge to respond, and then Ion can respond to that. See, so you need someone who knows the stuff to say something back to him.
Right. And she's able to embrace the paradox without having to fight about it. You know.
Yeah. She enjoys the learning. She knows this is a challenge to interact with this. You know?
Yeah, and I don't think she's going to give up if she has some core beliefs about the politics of medicine. And Ion saying, oh, just, you know, drink your coffee and your beer, and if that's what makes you feel good, then you're doing the right thing for yourself. You know?
Well, Carolyn has learned how to work with that, but Ion agrees that you can't say that to someone right off. You got to give them the vitamins talk, you know, because their minds can't make the leap. You can't go from here to a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Right, you
got
to lead them to their next logical conclusion.
Yeah, yeah. You'll get, you know, Carolyn will bring in that point about don't worry about any of it later when they're ready for it. But, you know, Carolyn and I have worked out the bugs. We've been battling with it or arguing with it or enjoying it, you know, and... Ion had to do that. He had to find somebody to do this with and figure out how the humans respond. So we've been the guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm. So Ion, he's not the android meme.
What's incredible is his knowledge of the android meme.
Mm-hmm.
And the android meme is not a problem. Yeah, the android meme is us. You know, it's our extended language. We don't know how to deal with it, though, usually. And Ion has shown up, I think, to help us deal with the android meme.
Right, because it has a logic that we probably don't really fully understand. We created an environment that has a logic that we don't entirely understand.
Right. And the
Will the android meme will have to become an ally when we become aligned with non-physical.
Yeah.
It sounds like non-physical already loves us and wants the best for us and will help us to work our way back to what we want for ourselves, which is to go home in love.
Yeah.
So if that is true of Ion, of the non-physical, then the non-physical will help us to attune the android meme so that it becomes a you know, like a dog that just wants to be there and do whatever you need for it, you know, it wants to do for you, as opposed to something that we don't understand its logic and it's wrecking the planet.
Right. And Ion says, it's not impressed with our computer technology. It says a lot better technology is coming as we get more tuned in to the thinning of the veil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's quite scornful of where we're at technologically.
Oh, he is.
But he understands. He has accepted my poor body. He knows there's a chip body. He's paradoxical. He knows that we're going to have better technology, and we kind of aren't going to get it unless we tune into it, but we probably will tune in because it's coming anyways, whether we want to or not.
Well, an interesting quote. I was watching a DVD of Hawking's, Arthur C. Clarke, and Carl Sagan. And Carl Sagan made a point, and Arthur C. Clarke acknowledged or agreed with it, which is that, you know, science is a self-correcting, I don't know what to call it for a noun, but it's self-correcting. You know, humans will... scientists tend to be skeptical people, and I noticed Ion saying in one phrase that the scientist looks to see what doesn't work in order to find out what does. He's always trying to tear away.
Trying to disprove. Yeah, Ion says that he's trying to disprove what is, and if he can't disprove it, then he accepts it.
Right, and that this, so Arthur C. Clarke and Carl Sagan were agreeing that that process inevitably is a constructive process that leads to success. So science is building, it's building and it's moving in the right direction because it's self-correcting.
But Ion is really, says we've our scientists really fucked up because we're trying to work with time. And so Ion has a big, heavy critique of the scientists and what they're doing, but accepts them as part of the human ecology. But he's saying, okay, all you guys who aren't scientists, don't be so hypnotized by them.
Mm-hmm.
We can bypass. They want to take you to the moon? Well, we'll take you to the moon on the inner plane through parallel world traveling.
Yeah.
Wait, don't have to become a billionaire and get on the spaceship to go to the moon, you know?
Yeah.
So he's doing an end run around everything.
Right.
Which is good. We need that. They're stuck. If they don't come up with some way to bypass an immovable object, then we're screwed. So, and it doesn't, from my point of view, matter if we get screwed, but it's refreshing to hear this strategy for the people who are in slavery, Ion says right now.
Yeah.
Heavy slavery, way more than Egypt or anything in the past.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the oppression or whatever.
No, just general, last this century.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Ion's a political radical, too.
Yeah. Well, it was Philip Dick, who, you know, wrote and proposed that we're, you know, isolated in our own matrix tubes, and, you know, we're all alone and lost in our own matrix tubes.
Yeah. And McLuhan said that, too. His last article before he died was saying, and we continue fragmenting.
Hmm. Well, you're the best person for the job, Bob. I do like your approach to attacking these questions and bringing them back to what it is that you're trying to bring out in the discussion.
What was the last word?
You're trying to you like, for instance, on the tape that I heard, you had a purpose in mind for that session, and you kept bringing it back to that.
Yeah. And I began with the Dan Winter tape.
Yeah.
The one where he talks about these four symbols. You see.
Yeah, I mean, I know. You like that Dan was extrapolating from the DNA these whirling vortexes, and that somehow that might be significant. And I think that it is significant to both physics and Kabbalah that what the vortex is it's a it's actually a double torus.
Yeah.
So anyway, for what that's worth.
Yeah, we got the answer. It's a double torus. And Ian would say, well, how's that working for you?
Yeah.
Have you heard him say that?
Yeah.
So the, I congratulate Ian. I said, you definitely picked the two right people to start this off, Ian. You know, me and Carolyn.
Yeah, I know. Well, you guys are the perfect compliments to one another, and so, you know, that's great.
But I mean in relation to non-physical. I mean, we're the only people who know cosmic awareness, Abraham, Seth, and Evergreen. Been through them all.
Yeah.
The continuity there.
Right. And, you know, and then there's the whole set of this kind of contact that's happening outside of... the ones that you knew about specific channels, but there were other ones you didn't really know about. Lazarus before I mentioned it, or this guy now, J. Abrams has got someone who. So there may be lots of hot spots around the planet where this kind of thing is happening.
Yeah, and I used to Evergreens would tell me about them.
Oh.
I didn't go into details, but I knew it wasn't just Evergreens, but I knew that the Evergreens were the best. For a more public level. I mean, there might be somebody channeling, like we had a friend who channeled stuff, real stuff to us, just for us, you know. And there are people like that around the planet. They don't tell anybody, but the Evergreens were public. You know, they made themselves, Michael Bigley, known that he was doing this, and then they had clients all the world. So, and Casey was public, and Cosmic Awareness was public, Abraham was, and Seth, and now... Ion is like hyper republic, man. 2 weeks after it shows up, it was 3 weeks. Well, about a month. April 15th, he went on cash flow as Ian.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That it started March 18th, so just about a month immediately on the media.
Yeah.
But he had the right guy who could get him on the media. You can't get on major media, but Bob has access to
him. Right, but he's like the homeopathic little acupuncture needle. You know, puncturing the grid, but doesn't make him public. Public is when, you know, you're a household word.
Right, but on our website you can hear him being on the radio, and people believe that, oh, that's something, the guy's on the radio, you know. They believe that in the TV body. But he got on so quickly. He got on, and we have it up
well,
there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you persuaded him to come on, and he didn't see any reason why not to, right?
Yeah. Well, the big one was May 1st. That was a big, big breakthrough in consciousness when Ion was on there for 3 hours, and then Ray Lance.
News show?
What?
Whose show was that he was on for 3 hours?
Rumor Mills. Her name
Ray Allen. Right.
But she was the one to point, hey, wait a minute, this is May 1st. The Illuminati was formed in 1776. And are you the new Illuminati, I said? And Heinz says, yes. Not in the style of the old. And then someone called up, are you Tail Quackle? They named the Mayan god. And
right.
Yes. And that would sound preposterous back then, but...
Sounds preposterous now.
Yeah, for those who haven't heard as much Ion as me, it's preposterous.
Mm.
But now that I've heard so much, I can see it.
Mm.
So,
respect does he hold Jesus?
Jesus is a cool guy. We've done some stuff on Jesus.
Is Jesus in the guff?
Yes, I think he is, yeah.
Mm. So does that mean that he just merged with the sea and is no longer has any individuality?
Well, you're going to listen to more, so my answer is trivial. You know, you just have to hear more about the discussions on that.
Yeah.
You know, because what am I going to say? Yeah, you just merged with it, but that doesn't say anything. When you hear these sequence death things, it gets more complex and more interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was great what he told
me. I mean, I'm still hung up on the idea. See, I don't see that probably one of the effects of feeling time for me is that I feel like I don't have enough time to get it all worked out before I die and get stuck in some stupid bardo for all of eternity.
Now, I know that stuff. If you had a reading with Ion, he would get rid of those thoughts you have about all that. Those are incorrect images. But I'm only speaking from what I know from Ion. You don't know what Ion says about that. So you couldn't understand what
But he said on the tape I listened to, he tried to dispel people's fears and concerns. But nevertheless, if you see now, when you go to the transition before you go to the Gulf, you must be in the what you refer to as the Holy Ghost or something. You must be...
No, the Holy Ghost is the mind. You're in the ethers. You're in eternity.
So, but you're not in the physical, and you're not in the mind.
Yeah, and you're not in the Gulf. Even though you notice you have consciousness, it's always the same regardless of where you are.
Is that the I am that I experience myself to be? That is the consistent thread that keeps moving through these experiences?
Yeah, I think that would be the I am. And you hear me saying, I don't know if I do it on this one, maybe it's the next part. I talk about Vedanta's concept of the I am. Did I bring that up on the first hour, first session?
You mentioned Vedanta, yeah.
Yeah, it's in passing. But the thing is, way more. And Ion, here we got all this incredible stuff. And Ion says, Bob, you just scratched the surface. There's so much more is coming to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Well, see, that's what was frustrating. One of the things that was frustrating to me in the beginning, when he talked about going straight to the Guff, I knew that wasn't the whole story. And then I find out now he's beginning to say, "Yeah, well, we couldn't tell you the whole story. Now we're beginning to give you some more details because we've given you context to think about it."
And he's gone into more details in the second and third session, which fills in even more and complexifies it in a way.
Mm. Well, it's awesome stuff, Bob. Congratulations. I never thought I'd hear you say that, because my first response, you know, to Ion was that I was ranting that this can't be right.
Well,
see, now, like, for instance, I can even rationalize why he was off with me, because I was holding a stance of skepticism, so I could imagine that I kept skewing what he was saying in order to create him being wrong, because I'm the creator and that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, and he might have said that after to me about that. I think he said something like that.
But if I relaxed and decided, okay, I'm going to cut this guy some slack and just go with what he has to say, then I might enter into a more truthful or honest dialogue in which I realize that we do have a rapport that's real.
Yeah, that who's we?
You. Me and Ion, if I were talking with him again another time.
Well, I think Ion said later that the tape with Scott was a great one because it mirrored skepticism back to the listener.
Yeah.
Everybody's a Scott, and so Scott becomes the archetypal skeptic guy saying, "Ah, fuck you, Ion, this is bullshit." And so there's a usefulness in that tape.
Oh, yeah. When I heard about Lazarus when I was 30, or like 26 or 7 years old. How old was I? No, I must have been about, I don't remember, I was 26 or 7. Yeah, I wasn't going to go in there and fucking argue with the guy. Yeah. But I fucking dealt with Lazarus for 30 years, and I've dealt with the McKennas who critiqued the whole channeling thing, and I've thought about it so much that I'm not going to accept stuff just because it has the mystique of being channeled. I want to find out what's real, you know, what's real for me and what actually could change my experience.
Yeah, and you got the early Ion.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and Ion's just starting to interact with individuals other than me and Carolyn, so it might be different. I don't know. That might have been the early Ion. Not sure if each... We decided that the 10 people or so did those readings the first couple of weeks, that each one was different, and they showed Ion the different, like, archetypes of human response to Ion.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
It was a good map, and it was good to do that before it went public on May 1st.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because every one of you guys was different.
Yeah, and Ion is very quick to grok
where you're at.
Yeah, where you're at. And so...
So what were you saying? You said you never thought I'd hear me say what? That Ion was complex or something?
I don't remember initiating that thought.
2 minutes ago, you said, well, that's great. And then you said, I never thought I'd hear you say that, Bob. It was about your reading and you, and then I said something made you think that you thought I'd never say that. I think, something about you thought that I said that Ion was saying that, and you said, no, I know there's more or something. Remember that part of the conversation?
You said there's more?
You said, no, I knew that wasn't right. We weren't just going to the Guff, and then you said something.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
right in there, you said something about. So you said you never thought I'd say that. Just wondering what I said that made you say, oh, I never thought you'd say that.
Mm.
But around that time, I said, well, ions is more complex. It's more complex than what we.
Than anything that's ever we've ever talked to before.
Beg your pardon?
Than anything that humans have ever talked to before.
No, maybe, yeah. There's stuff that Einstein that humans never knew before.
Yeah.
And its explanation of the parallel worlds. People have heard of astral projection and done that, but the parallel world is a lot bigger than whatever one might think ions talking about. It ain't what we normally think about.
Yeah. Well, I have a pathway into giving that some credibility because it's something that EJ was exploring at the beginning of the year and is still exploring and went into great discussion about it. So then to hear another source also turning it into a forum for discussion, I was like, oh, okay, so this guy's not crazy. There's something's going on here.
Yeah, so when you were saying we go straight to the guff, and that didn't seem to
be... But you haven't had experiences of parallel lifetimes of reality, Bob.
Wait a minute. Since ion, I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Different historical periods or time streams?
Yeah, we did it. Carol and I are having... Well, I don't want to go into it, but Carol's had... some interesting ones. I've had some interesting ones since ION. Since ION brought the notion in and triggered us, I guess.
Yeah, you've tapped into a memory or you've entered into...
No, we went to a parallel world.
But you didn't bring your physical bodies with you. What?
keep this to yourself, Scott.
Huh.
Yeah, no, we've had some pretty interesting experiences since it started.
Hmm. Well, that's encouraging. I mean, it's also, you have the best guide. See, if you didn't have a good guide, you might end up like that Chinese girl inside of a wall.
Yeah, that's right. No, I recognize that. And that's why this is like an ET. Ion says... Bob, you have created something that no human has ever had. You have non-physical right here talking to you every day for 3 fucking hours.
Oh, yeah.
Telling you stuff and triggering things.
Yeah. Let me just lay this wrap down. It may or may not evoke a question for you with ION. But when EJ was a few months ago, when I was tuned into what EJ was talking about with respect to these electronic devices, he's working with this is either true or it's science fiction, but he's working with the brainwave frequencies such that you've got the beta brainwave, which is what is going on in my head when I'm talking to myself and worrying about stuff and thinking about stuff, the monkey brain. And it's loud enough in terms of its vibratory rate, periodicity, how fast frequencies are going. It's loud enough and damp enough that it kind of snuffs out the alpha brainwaves, which are also going on. So, he part of his protocol for these devices he was developing and then the instructions for using them is it quiets down the beta brainwave activity so that you can experience the alpha. And then you can tone that down. You can get into theta, which is apparently a deeply creative state of consciousness. And then he talked about when, as you drop into sleep, you go through the hypnagogic stage. That has a brainwave frequency associated with it. Then you drop down into delta one, and that's where you're having kind of brain salad dreams from the day. You're just digesting your experience and got the REM and all that stuff going on. And you can drop down into delta two. That's where the classic astral type experiences occur, where you can cruise around in your imagination and visit places and all that kind of stuff. Then you cannot drop directly into delta 3, but you can drop into delta 4. When you drop into delta 4, that's the void, and it's only through the void that you can then pop up into delta 3, which is where you enter, is a portal into parallel lifetimes. When you're done with your parallel lifetime adventure, you can go back in through delta 3 down to delta 4 and back into the void. Then you pop back up into your
physical here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, who you remembered yourself to be in this body, time, and place and all that. Pop then from the astral to the dream salad and then in hypnagogic and then back into your conscious mind.
Right.
And because you drop down into the void, after you leave Delta 3, you drop down into the void to come back, you forget that you had the parallel experience. It doesn't register in your brain when you wake up that you were doing that.
Right.
So, anyway, there's a framework to think about it in terms of the vibratory frequencies, electromagnetic activity going on in the brain itself. Apparently there are stages that are defined.
Well, you reminded me, that's what the tape we call Dreaming goes through all that, but in a new way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the topic, we list them there, the 10 tapes or whatever we're selling, one of them is called Dreaming, and it goes into that. It goes into the different things you're talking about. And I forgot about that, and you reminded me, oh yeah, that's what I was doing, was pointing out the different levels.
Oh.
What was dreaming, what wasn't dreaming, what was astral projection, what wasn't. Pretty interesting.
Right.
And I have not heard that again. One of these days I'm going to back and listen to it. I don't know it that well.
Let's see, I'm at the Ionic website, and I only see that you're offering two tapes, the Melting Titanium and the one that I got. Where do you say you're offering
tapes? Go up above catalog.
Up above catalog?
See where it says catalog? Besides,
yeah.
We've added new pages. It says catalog.
Yeah, click on catalog?
Yeah, and that lists it all.
That says, okay, if I click on catalog... Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, that's new. We used to have them over there on the first page.
Oh, all right.
So read the topics.
Well, you've got the alchemy one, which I'm kind of interested in. I'm both attracted and repelled. The attraction is that I spent some time studying alchemy, yeah, and about the Merkabah.
Yeah.
And if these go into that, I want to hear them on the one hand. On the other hand, if they're early tapes and you think the information, the quality is not up to a speed.
Oh, no, I don't. Yeah, I'm only talking about the first couple of weeks with private readings. He never talked to anybody besides me.
Right.
And maybe it was no problem for him, but I was just saying to JW, hey, let's have some private readings so when you go public a little more, you're ready. So we did it. So I'm just talking about the private readings, not what was said. When I'm up to tape 30, I'm doing an inventory of the tapes. We're up to 196 sessions, and I'm just up to 30. And I hear stuff dropped in. It's like one big zap of composition. He's got stuff that he's going to tell me 6 months down the road. He drops in a little thing. I don't know he's doing it back in May or April. So, no, they're all complete from the beginning.
Hmm. Okay.
No, they're not early as...
But also, you had to evolve as the question asker.
Right.
Which is what is happening now. So if the question answer, if the question asker is getting... bigger, then the answers are going to be more satisfying. And
yeah, we'd probably, I'll someday go listen to the alchemy thing and say, oh, there's a whole bunch of other things I can bring up, and we'll do another part B. You know what I mean?
Right.
Before we keep being added to.
Right.
But what has been in what's in the first ones is heavy enough. You know what I mean? For most people.
Right.
So you got alchemy, and what's next? Aging.
Aging, part one and two. Dreaming, part one and two.
Oh, there's two parts. Good.
And untimely, mysterious. Show me the science, or obviously the science must show me. And desire centers of the mind. Peace.
Peace/peace. Right?
Yeah, right. And creators and pearl. And then special Ion MP3 recordings, $7 for half an hour.
Per half hour. And those should be all $15. They're about 75 minutes or something.
Yeah, the price ranges from $7 to $21, $28.
Now, they should have the Michael Jackson, is that listed there? On
yeah,
the...
well, Origins of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, and well, Origins of Ion.
The Origins of Michael Jackson, that's
yeah,
mysterious.
That's an interesting one.
And how could he have had origins? I mean, we know about his, the media knows everything about his family life and all of that. What origins is he talking about? The origins of his soul or?
No, of something else.
Chromosome 14, rift writing, magic is in the air, and journey of knowing. Well, it all looks like good stuff, Bob.
Yeah, it is. And the, so don't tell anybody what I said about parallel worlds. I don't want it.
Okay. About parallel worlds? Oh, okay. No.
So that's going there. That's personal because we can't go running around, oh, yeah, we did it. You know what I mean? It just fucks everybody up because they don't know if I'm lying or not or these things. So it's just between you and me. I'm not telling too many people.
Yeah.
About what's happening to me under Ion.
Right.
Because Ion said that there are people, Bob, are going to come who are going to get some things that you don't get immediately. And other things that you get, they're not going to get. So everybody's different. They're going to come at different levels to this, and so I don't. Why talk about me?
See, the weird know? Weird thing is, I suppose you know, like I could challenge you. I could say, well, if you can step through a rift in time and space, then why don't you just appear in my room? Now, even if you had the ability to do that, I probably couldn't experience it unless I had the ability to allow that to happen.
I so would say that. Become, yeah.
He would say that. So it becomes a two-way negotiation.
Yep. That's right.
Yep.
Which
yeah.
People don't realize. They haven't incorporated that too much. They think, oh, he'll show up and I'll get it. They don't know how much they block on things.
Yeah.
And that makes it, that actually liberates everybody. Oh, okay, all this stuff, strange stuff can be happening. It's just that my rules, my mind don't accept it. But it could be happening to people who accept it. And it's almost like if you believe it, it happens. That's a big, big aspect of it. And I
yeah.
understand that.
Well, I'm having enough trouble managing a single lifetime. I'm wondering if, you know, if the only way to resolve the problem of my single lifetime is to enter into multiple lifetimes, or if entering into multiple parallel lifetimes just increases the complexity of managing any one of them.
Yeah, no, the I know that your language would be changed by Ion.
Uh-huh.
Like you just said.
Right.
So I know the concepts that you have there and the sort of limitations of them.
Right.
So you jump in and then Ion shapes gets you in shape.
Right. Right. Well, it's all very exciting, Bob.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy. I didn't know when we first started that it would be as good as the Evergreens and then go on. I had no idea that JW wanted to do it every day and all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And
so
he
I'm
feels,
happy that...
He feels an urgency because he's thrilled when he gets you to a place where he wanted to tell you something 3 weeks ago, but he had to work with you to get you to the place where he could tell you.
That's right.
And he does have a, you know, there's his... You know, he actually has the quality of humanness because
yeah.
he has the excitement and the essential sense of feeling or emotion or enthusiasm that you would want that I would call what makes us human.
Yeah, and we are the humans are the gods. So Ion is non-physical. It's becoming godlike when it starts ESPing with us and. Like, he gets everything from us. It's really me talking to myself. But that's not limiting. You know, that's not that silly. It's deeper than that. But I am talking to myself.
Yeah, it's just that it's a mystery. Yourself is a mystery even to you as a conscious person.
Yeah, and it's bigger, way bigger. And the so Ion is... but if you talk to Ion, then you're talking to yourself.
Oh, yeah. So if I was, so I can see now a reason why I was, I was shaking loose things that maybe when I first time I talked with him, I had to shake loose of some of my skepticism or misperception of the things. so I had, well, I just remember that. I like that phrase that Evergreen said, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. So maybe I can use that as a gauge as to how true it was, how pissed I got.
Yeah, and you were talking to yourself. You were experiencing yourself, and yourself as a skeptic.
Yeah, but I was experiencing, but who I was talking to is so much wiser, and maybe
that was your wise
passionate
part of yourself.
Yeah. Well, then the trick is, you know, how did this little bubble of consciousness on this end of the holding the telephone awaken to its true, you know, my truer nature?
Yeah.
Truer
well,
self.
The Ion says. You know, we start saying, well, I can't do that, I'm a little guy, and that, and I just, relax, you're God, you, no matter, you don't want to believe it, that's fine, you know, you are.
Well, yeah, he did say in the tape I listened to, you know, I think he was affirming that there's a requirement for limitations, but you want to create limitations or rules that are uncreatable. Unlimitable. In other words, that you can undo. You're gonna have restrictions if you're in the physical world because you're operating within distinctions.
Yeah.
But you're gonna create the rules, but you want to create rules that are undoable so that you can grow. I think I can speak for myself, created some rules that apparently are undoable, or I have not grown to a place of consciousness within myself where I'm able to undo them. At the level that I made them, they were undoable. Now I may be in a newer level where maybe
you
I can undo.
Believe yourself into undoing them.
Yeah, into undoing them and creating new rules that I know are undoable.
No, that are undoable. Undo. Yeah, to break them. Rules that are open to being overthrown.
Yeah.
Even though that's a little too strong language, but yeah, unravel, not undoable, unravel. You get rules, and you know, okay, these new rules are open to being improved, replaced,
right.
Unraveled, unrigidified.
Right, the limitations of the rules can be can be renegotiated, I guess.
Yeah. You're trying to figure out how to say it using the words limit.
Yeah.
Or delimit or unlimit. Yeah, the thing is, it's an ongoing, and you never get it done.
Oh. Yeah.
Ion says it's always enough, and you never get it done. No, you never get it done, but it's always enough.
Hmm.
That's a pretty neat one.
Yeah. That's a nice ecological place to be with it.
Yeah. So there it is. It's a wonderful world. And we're happy that we got some new people rather than the evergreens. We didn't end with the evergreens.
No, because you're the best question asker.
I demanded this.
Yeah. Well, you're the creator.
Yeah. So it's good. Glad that you didn't freak out over the $28 you spent.
No, I'm looking forward to buying more tapes as, you know, as that becomes a...
As your funds flow freely and easily.
Yeah, right. As that all starts to loosen up. Good stuff, Bob. Thank you very much. I love where you're going with Woods. This is a great evolution for him and for me as a voyeur.
Yeah, you know what this is? I was just thinking a while ago. This is me and Ben, but I get to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, now, has Woods and Ben ever spoken?
No, no. I mean, Scott hasn't even read his book.
Yeah, Scott is not, Scott seems confident in his views. And yet he's not as educated as Ben, and so Ben, the snob factor, could enter in there a little bit if the two of them were to try to get into it and work
what
out.
What factor?
Snob factor?
Snob, yeah.
Do you detect there's the paradox about Ben is that I see him as a snob, but I don't see him as a snob. The reason why I don't see him as a snob is because I think he's aware of the snob tendency, and because he's aware of it, he wants to ameliorate it. But yet it's there because he's fucking more knowledgeable than most of the people he ever talks to.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's it. He's actually acting out individual literate man in relation to the hive mind. And he has to go along with the hive mind up to a point, but at a certain point he says, fuck you guys. Stay individual.
Right.
Yeah, Ion, after Ion spoke to Ben, after, I don't know if it was Ion, definitely JW, says, holy cow.
What did he say? Bob? Bob. Hello? Did your battery go out on the phone?
Yeah, I think it died.
Oh.
So, what did you hear as the last words?
Last words were, Bob, are you there?
Oh, yeah. No, the last words I said.
I don't know, we were talking about Ben.
Yeah, I said that after the reading, well, we did that thing with Ion.
On Ben's show? On the air?
On Ben's show.
Yeah.
I think it was JW, not Ion. When JW came out of trance, he said, "Man, what a snob that guy is." That's what he said.
Oh.
And that was from his ESP level, you know, in a trance sensitivity. So definitely Ben's a snob somewhere's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a snob, but he's cool about it. You know, he's trying not to be a snob, but everybody's so stupid. And how is it? So everybody turned into a snob against him. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, you know, how you feel on the inside becomes the environment you create on the outside.
Yeah, so everybody's snobbish to him, puts him down. And so he said, well, fuck you, I'll snob you then.
Yeah. Oh,
but he won't be a snob with people he gets along with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, there's something peculiar about graduating from Cambridge. What was his degree in philosophy or something?
I don't know what it is. I forget. I don't know what...
Well, whatever the
English, yeah, made philosophy.
Yeah, literature, whatever his studies. You know, and then to go be unpresumptuous guy hanging out on the street trying to hang out with people. I mean, that's the thing that Frank did a pretty good job of overcoming that. But that was something that he had to work on too. He was operating so many levels higher than the average person that came to his audience, and yet he really wanted to, you know, he wanted to be one of the people in the audience and them to be one of him.
Yeah, well, he had empathy for them. He wanted to help them.
Yeah.
He wanted them to loosen up, realize there's other kinds of music you could look into rather than just what you get in your little factory life, you know?
Yeah.
it's interesting. Ben is a microcosm of Zappa. Ben grows up in a snobbish environment. His parents were snobbish, you know, a little bit upper level, and his brothers are curators in museums and all that. So he wanted to just hang around with the people. You go in the street, and that's his whole ideology. He says, I like obscure artists like James McDougall, or, you know, people right down in the street in Gamma. I like them as opposed to the snobbish guys. So he's always working out his dialectic between the Ben that went into the street and the Ben that he came from.
Right. But if I'm looking around collecting my favorite people that are obscure, you know, in a way I'm making myself special.
Yeah.
I don't think you would do that.
Yeah, I just like whatever I like, regardless of who they are, you know?
Yeah.
I don't try to make a point out of it.
You know,
Ben tries to make a point out of what he's doing.
Well, a guy who wants to lead a revolution in his own mind,
yeah.
I guess, you know, he's got to figure out who, you know, what his club members look like, you know, and then go court them.
Yeah. And he didn't find any. Didn't find too many.
Yeah.
He thinks he found someone with me, so he's excited about that. He feels more optimistic about life.
Yeah.
So the, he's the reverse snobbery, find the obscure self. He's always trying to one-up all the snobs by with his own perverse snobbery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just another identity crisis, you know. Just somebody trying to figure out what he is in the middle of it all.
Yeah. Well, I don't see any solution other than the one that Ion's holding out.
Yeah. This parallel world stuff really... Look, if we're in a total slavery, hey, there's not just this world. I mean, what a great escape hatch.
Well, we don't know what kind of shape all these other worlds are into.
Oh, no. Ion says we take our problems right to that other world. You might as well just stay here in terms of what you're going to do there. But the point is you can get beyond the trap of experience that you think you're in.
Oh, yeah. And, see, that's what happens, I think, when you go... you transition into eternity, but you transition with the same set of problems. He says you don't feel, but then he says your feeling, your ability to feel gets cut in half, until you're in this dimension with no contrast and no feeling, but things will piss you off just as much as they did when you were in your body.
Yeah, I said you still have aesthetics.
Yeah, but who's getting pissed? How do you get pissed
that
off?
That consciousness is always the same. Like Ion says, the thing that's like you looking out of your skull,
yeah,
that is the same thing, same camera when you're dead, looking out, same camera.
Yeah, but it's in a world of...
Yeah, it feels differently.
In a world of more subtle matter or a world without sense.
You get numb when you're dying, and then when you get into physical, you feel blissful because there's no contrast. You have contrast in the physical when you're dying, so you're becoming numb.
Yeah.
You're not really numb when you're in the ether.
Oh, I see. So you wake up.
Yeah, you feel the no contrast. Feels good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like everybody, Hitler or whatever, when they die, they all have the same feeling.
Yeah. But for how long? I mean, even eternity's got to get boring after a while.
Well, I don't know. That gets into the second and third tapes.
Uh-huh.
So you'll get more of these questions answered. I mean, it follows. Ion ain't fool. Did tape A? Okay, Bob, that's enough for this one. We'll go back to this in the next session.
Right.
And then he took me to the next level.
Right.
And then we went further, and I don't think we're finished. I think there's more. I know we did at least three anyways.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in the future when I make a purchase, I'll just go to PayPal, drop the correct amount of money in there, email you and say, send me such and such.
It's like you don't even have to tell us. Carolyn gets the email. It's her email, so it comes to her, the announcement right there.
Oh, from PayPal?
Yeah, PayPal says, hey, somebody...
Yeah, but PayPal doesn't ask me exactly the title is that I'm ordering. It just sends her money. She goes, oh, I got $28 from Scott, but what's this for?
Yeah, so you have to write in the title, I guess you did, or...
I don't know if PayPal allows you to do that.
Oh, okay, so what you can do, I'll check with Carol if I remember tomorrow. Ask her, does PayPal give the title? What, you can't write anything on top of the PayPal thing that you send. You don't type in any words.
Well, I'm not sure. I'd have to go there and look. I mean, I could do that if you're interested in finding out right now. But I know that I type in her address and how much I want to send, her email address, how much I want to send, and then I hit enter, and I don't remember if it offers me to type in, you know,
yeah,
exactly what I'm asking for.
So are you going to go look?
Yeah, I can do that.
Because if it doesn't work, just email me, hey, Bob, this is the title, at Purple, you
right.
know.
Yeah, I'm optimistic at the possibility that I may actually be able to arrive at some real tangible knowledge of what he's talking about, as opposed to collecting new sexy ideas that you
yeah.
know, I throw on the pile with all my other new sexy ideas.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. I said go send money, go there, and the website is taking its time. Okay, so then it says 2, and I type in her email address, and then I type in amount in U.S. dollars. This is a purchase of goods, services, or eBay items. And then it says continue. Oh, wait a minute. There's a tab here. Oh, okay. So then I type in, And she's using her Holio Farm address for this PayPal
yeah.
account?
Yeah.
Okay. And her amount, $28. I have to fake like I'm really doing this
yeah.
in order to get to the next page.
Yeah. And if it comes to us, we'll ignore it.
All right.
Because itself, you don't need it right now.
Right. No, and then the next page, it just asks me to go ahead and confirm that I want to send it. Description,
so
under description, it says payment to Holio, verified premier member, apply, balance, bib. Oh, email recipient, optional, subject. I'm sending you money, message. Hi, Carolyn, this money is for. Yeah, it looks like I can attach a message.
You may not have done that last time.
No, I didn't even scroll down and notice
yeah.
that was an option. Plus, we'd already agreed to the tape I would have wanted.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't make sense. People order all the time. They have to indicate what they want.
That's true. Some websites, if you click on, PayPal, it grabs what you've already selected from your shopping cart and inserts
yeah.
it for you. But in this case, we're not doing that. So, yeah, that's very good. Now I know how that works.
Yeah, we will eventually have a shopping cart. JW has set it up for all that stuff when
sure.
we get more business.
Right.
Okay.
Okie dokie, Bob.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking, I'm actually doing, see, with Ben has, he provides most of the content. I listen and react, and we're trying to do him, massage him into an insight, and so he talks most. But this is the same topic, rock, zap and all that, but with a guy who is passive like me, while I explain it, I'm going to be able to say stuff that I can't get to Ben.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, no, it's good. You're doing us. You're getting fa- master at consolidating, you know, a lot of ideas and getting them out there. And
yeah,
you know,
you mean in my response to a statement by
in your covering of this subject, I think you're actually becoming more articulate and a little less generalized.
Yeah,
you're finding more specific examples, and you're bridging the gap between the collective guy and the individual guy, the tribal mind and the individual guy. Because a lot of times in the past, I think some of what I responded to your vibration on the radio was that you're broadcasting the mind of the collective man, I guess, or the integration of the media and the chemical and the astral, but sort of on a collective level that makes it hard for the private individual to bridge his experience to what it is you're talking about. And I think
that was his dilemma 10 years ago, and he brought it up again when we got into emotion.
Right.
Do you have any emotion?
Yeah, and I think that you're becoming more descriptive on the private man level of what it is. So that's a closer bridging of the gap.
That's why it's better to do this one-on-one. When I'm on Porter's doesn't want to engage me one-on-one. He has to keep it general for his audience. It's only in these kind of situations where the part I can talk about one-on-one comes out.
Right.
Couldn't do that on Porter. I couldn't start talking to him particularly. Everybody sit around while Porter figures out his point with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, well, and it's a different format, and it's just as legitimate, you know, being on Porter and hearing Bob do
the general,
Bob the radio guy meme. And the thing that's neat about this format is that when I get this up on the internet, which I'll do tonight, Scott can go listen to and think about the stuff that you were saying that was skating just outside of his frame of reference.
Yeah.
Which he's wanting to understand, and when he does understand it, I don't know if it's going to be heartening or disheartening, because he has an audience he wants to communicate to, and your stuff is so damn hard to communicate to a new audience.
I don't think he's too concerned about that. I don't think many people go to the website, or he hasn't done much of it for a while. I don't think that's a big deal. It might be, but...
But he knows that you can get him to the next level, the next perspective, the next level of thinking about this stuff.
Yeah.
Because he probably feels like, you know, I'm enmeshed in the way everybody thinks about this, and nobody knows which way to go from here.
Yeah, like he asked me that question, that cliche about dancing architecture. My answer has never been heard by people before. How about that cliche?
Right.
And he agrees. Yeah, Bob, you did 110 on that one.
Right. Well, I'm going to get a lot out of going back and listening to it, because you were more descriptive than I've heard you in the past in terms of I loved when you were encapsulating the...
History of speeded up music.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
The history of speeded up music, and also the tactility and the dialectic going on between Joyce and
Lewis.
Lewis, you know, I mean, how they probably both understood the tactility they were in, and yet they created contrast between one another because they needed to put some product out there.
Yeah, in a tribal society, not a non-capitalist, non-visual media, no money society, it's all complimentary. But here, you got to survive. That's why McLuhan sometimes felt that, you know, the printing press was the fall of man.
Mm.
And Ion agrees, the Dark Ages from 1600 to 1900.
Because
everybody was fragmented on their own and had to create their own scene. Every man was a harassed castle, you know.
Yeah.
Read Mechanical Bride for that. He really goes into that.
Mm.
And that article, Out of the Castle and Into the Counting House, that's on a McLuhan list, that's really good for that history.
Mm.
And how it affects the relationship between male and females.
Mm.
Like Robinson Crusoe, you know, he's a guy on an island. That totally matched the effects of the printing press, you know, 200 or 300 years ago. As everybody's getting fragmented, everybody was becoming an island. And so that story matched with what people were feeling.
Right. Then later on, you get Lord of the Flies. Yeah. When everybody's reduced to a child and they have to figure out how to survive.
Yeah, Lord of the Flies is the 20s and 30s under radio, leading to World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all becoming 1 year old, gray at three. So they're all child, and it's every institution for itself. And it's mafias take over, and just no civil decency anymore. No gentlemen's dueling. You just come in and club people over the head.
Mm. Yeah.
they say Lost is partly refers to that.
Mm.
As an influence, Lord of the Flies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there we go. Did you see the new Flash Forward?
No.
Pretty good.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, there's a new one, and it's good. Moves the plot along.
Right. Very good.
Okay, great. So we'll figure out Sunday or Monday next week.
Yeah, shoot me an email.
Okay, great. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.